Hello, welcome to another episode of Papa Bear Hikes.
Well, as many of you know, I love talking about the lesser known trails. We all know about the big three, the Appalachian Trail, Continental Divide, the Pacific Crest, but there's so many of these other trails out there that just, well, they haven't been beaten up as much as the Appalachian Trail. And again, I don't want to sound like I'm dwelling on this, but over the last several years of being on the Appalachian Trail, it might need a break, and it might be a time for many of us to start looking for other hiking opportunities, which is a reason why I'm always looking to talk about these other trails. Today, I'm going to talk about the Superior Hiking Trail, and that's on my long list, and the list is getting longer and longer. But I'm not going to be the one doing all the talking this time. We have a special guest to talk about this trail that's in Minnesota, runs from Wisconsin and ends at the Canadian border, if you're going northbound, that is, and it's 310 miles. Our guest is an author, public speaker, experimental educator, social environmental justice advocate, and a hikivist. I love that one. I'm going to consider myself a hikivist, a proud Black outdoor leader and lover of the planet. Crystal Gale, welcome to Papa Bear Hikes.
Thank you so much for having me. I appreciate being here. I'm excited. Yay.
Yeah, and this is exciting because this is a trail I started looking at 3 or 4 years ago. And when I read your article, and just to let everybody know, I found Crystal using the Trek, which is a blog for hikers. And I read this and I said, okay, let me see if Crystal will come on and talk about hiking the Superior Hiking Trail. I really want to hear somebody's experience out there. So Crystal, I was just very excited when you responded and you were on board to do this with us. Yeah. Crystal, why don't we start off by you telling us about yourself?
You did a lot in the intro. My mission in life is just to get more people in the outdoors, specifically more people of color in the outdoors, because I love nature. I believe that nature is healing and nature can provide like so much unity. And I think that I just want everyone to experience that. And I came to the outdoors kind of like later in life, only within like the last 5 years have I come to realize that like nature exists. I know that sounds weird because it's like all around us, but I've never like engaged in it, like in a like recreation / healing medium. But now that I've had, I want everyone to experience it. And so that's kind of like my draw for like being outdoors and like trying to promote more being in the outdoors. So as you mentioned, or as you stated, I write for the Trek. And so I write about my experience in the hope that more people will like read it and say, wow, I too want to like go and be in the outdoors. And like you, I believe that the top three trails are heavily used. And in my opinion, like that is causing some damage to the environment. And I think that if we're going to sustain as like speaking to hikers, if we're going to sustain the outdoors, we're going to have to do less impact, which might look like not spending so much time on those three major trails and maybe spreading out and visiting so many other trails. And not everybody should maybe acquire to do these major through hikes. And maybe we should hit up these smaller trails, in my opinion. It's unpopular, but still my opinion.
I'm in full agreement with you, which is why I keep talking about these other trails. Now, I'm guilty of this, and I'm a bit ashamed of it, but I'm getting away from hiking the Appalachian Trail. This year I went out and did another small section, did most of my hiking on side trails, but I was in Massachusetts and Vermont and only a small part of my hiking was actually on the Appalachian Trail and on the long trail. But it was a day after it had rained heavily and I'm standing there and I'm in a stream. I'm like, this is the trail, but there's water literally running over my feet. And that's because the trail is just so eroded. And, you know, there's the whole romanticism of, you know, hiking the Appalachian Trail. You know, these shorter trails are a lot of fun and challenging as well. And in some cases, even more challenging.
Yeah, for sure. For sure. I think that's especially true with the Superior Hiking Trail, because like it's 310 miles. And in my head, like I've hiked on other trails, I've done like sections of other trails. And in my head, I'm like, yo, 310 miles, like I can do that easily. Plus the altitude, like there's not like heavy mountains. And, you know, you're like in your head, you're like, man, I could do this. Like I'm a serious hiker. I got this. But it's like challenging because there's like rocks and routes that you have to like compete with. And then there's bugs. So like, it's like a mental challenge in addition to just like, wow, I was not prepared for this. And it gets to you. And if you want like true solitude, the Superior Hiking Trail is not like a traditional trail. Like there, you know, you're not close to like trail, like you can't think of like trail magic and like hotels and like accommodations knowing that the trail exists. But if you're thinking of like really wanting to be like a trail community, when you meet people on the Superior Hiking Trail, they're like, I mean, they might be backpacking for the weekend, but they're there to hike and they're like, yes, the trail. So they're drawn to the trail for the purpose of being on the trail. And I like that because you don't have like, I'm a through hiker and I'm entitled to be here. You have like, hey, I'm backpacking for the weekend. Like I did 5 miles. I'm tired. So like a different feeling for me. And I kind of appreciate that about the Superior Hiking Trail. Plus it's like, again, mentally challenging, which I was not expecting, but was really grateful for. Because I was like, oh, I needed this calming, like, I am not that important, kind of like, even this small trail can get me down kind of thing. Not really get me down, but like, put me in my place. So
good, humble.
Yes,
you.
Thank you. That's yeah. The word.
The outdoors has a way of humbling us, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Those routes that when we don't have a backpack on and our feet are fresh, mm-hmm. aren't that difficult to navigate. But after 10 plus miles of hiking with a backpack on, your feet are starting to feel like cinder blocks.
Yeah.
Or when those bugs are buzzing around your face all day.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And the bugs in Minnesota are like real and unlike any other bugs I've ever experienced. And I said some foul words to those bugs. I'm like, yo, y'all need to like chill, please. Personal space, let's respect it. But they weren't feeling it. They weren't listening.
They weren't paying attention to the COVID protocol, it sounds
no,
like.
No, not at all.
Not at all. Relating this to the Appalachian Trail, there's a different culture.
Yeah.
And you go to these smaller trails. First of all, when you show up at a campsite, there's not this through hikers and everybody else.
Right, right.
It's what I'm hearing from you.
Definitely.
Is we're all out here hiking.
Yeah.
It doesn't matter if I'm through hiking or if I'm out here for the weekend. We're all out here taking in nature and enjoying
it. Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, I definitely appreciate that. So I have done sections on the Appalachian Trail, and being on the Superior Hiking Trail it was definitely different than my sections on the Appalachian Trail. I like appreciate it, and it's actually like in like retrospect, I'm like, oh, I really like the Superior Hiking Trail. It's like a great trail. The Trail Association is great too. So I'm like, man, I like it.
My research on the trail has indicated they're a very active trail community up there. As you pointed out, they do a great job of maintaining it, keeping it marked.
Yeah. 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 I think the only place where I was like utterly confused was in the beginning. And it was only because where I was lost was, it was like part of ski resort. So I was getting turned around in the ski resort itself. So like I was on the trail, but then like, you know how like the trail markers aren't really marked because of the ski resort they have their own marking. And I'm like, you weird people, why would you do similar colors? And that makes no sense. But that was like the only day where I was like, this doesn't make sense. But otherwise it's well maintained. It's maintained by volunteers, which is something that's like amazing that you can get so many people that care about their community, like care about their trail and want to take care of it. And they, you know, go out in their little sections. And I'm like, wow, this is special for a community to get together and do that. And it's well marked, well maintained. Yeah. I mean, there's like a few areas where it's private property. And so those individuals might not be as motivated to do their part, but they're giving up their land and letting you walk on it. So I'm like, okay, I respect that. We can meet in the middle.
And I mean, that's another part of this. In the beginning, going out in nature could bring us together. Well, it's not just the people hiking, but as you pointed out, these communities that provide the opportunities to pave the way, literally, right? They're out there maintaining these trails. It's bringing us all together. And if there was ever a time we needed some sort of way to bring us together, right, the focus on something we have in common, mm-hmm. the outdoors, mm-hmm. it's now.
Yeah.
And that's what I love about, especially long distance hiking, is that, you know, you're out there for a few days and it doesn't take you long to just start to feel like, you know, we're all the same out here. We're, you know, we're all fighting the same battle. We all have different stresses in our lives. But now we're out here to decompress a bit and find a simpler way. I always come back recharged and looking for the simpler things, taking joy and change here to talking about your gear. You had made some gear modifications along the way. Can you tell us about that?
Gear modifications.
You changed backpacks at one point, I saw.
Yeah. So I started with like an L.L. Bean, kind of like a, it was specific for the AT. And by the AT, I mean, like, if you are hanging out with, you know, your friends for like, I don't know, 4 or 5 days on a trail. So it wasn't really designed for like a long through hike. And so I had to switch it out because it's designed if you were going to get off trail and be able to resupply like more regularly. But I hiked the Superior Hiking Trail during COVID, which meant it affected post hours, post office hours, like stores. So like, I think now it's probably better to hike because stores are open. Post office hours have changed some, but I hiked when things weren't open, so I was carrying more food. So I had to switch packs to a bigger pack. Granite Gear, which is a Minnesota-based company, gave me a pack for the purpose, which was a really nice pack. The Crown, I think it's called the Crown 62, they gave me for it. Yeah, it was really nice. I liked it. And it let me, the capacity was bigger, so I switched out from that.
I was going to ask you about resupply.
Yeah.
Because on a trail like that, and we know on the AT you can resupply about every 4 or 5 days depending on your pace. What was resupply like for you, and what was your strategy?
My resupply strategy in advance was to mail packages to the post office. But in Minnesota in general, post offices are like random. So like you can have a post office that's open from 10 to 12 on Monday and like Friday, and that's the post office hours. So I didn't do a lot of research to know that this was a thing that would happen. So I learned that on trail, that some of the places where I sent the resupplies, I was never going to get those boxes because the post office was never open. And I finished in 24 days, I believe. And so I decided that it would just be in my best interest to just do gas station food. So I ended up doing gas station food along the way, which was, I did a mix of gas station food and Patagonia provision. So I had, my partner came and met me twice to give me some Patagonia provision and gas station food along the way. I resupplied every, I think, 5 days. I would hit a gas station and resupply there. Gas stations in Minnesota are a special place to resupply. Like, I love Minnesota. They make me, like, you can, like, go to the gas stations and you can get, like, everything at a gas station. So, like, you can buy, like, it's, like, not that, I don't know if you would need this, but if you wanted to, you can buy, like, a fishing pole. You can buy, like, gun ammo, like, socks, like, everything at a gas station. And I'm like, okay, this is all right. I need it.
It's rural Minnesota. I'm picturing, you know, that you've got this hundreds of miles and all you have to shop is the gas station. So you go in, you pick up your 6-pack of beer, you're baking your eggs, spaghetti, some sauce, some shells because you're going to go hunting tomorrow, and some bait so you can fish in the morning.
Yes, that's Minnesota. But the trail does take you through some bigger towns too, which are really nice. So it takes you through Duluth, Two Harbors, Grand Marais. So there are some bigger towns through it. So those were nice to go through. But some of the smaller towns, I was like, huh, yeah, I'm from, you know, Atlanta. This is not a thing. This is new to me. And I kind of feel like I should start fishing or something. I don't know.
How did you feel going into these towns, going from a place like Atlanta? Because did you grow up in the Atlanta metropolitan area, I'm guessing?
I grew up in Florida, but going...
But not a rural area like northern Minnesota.
No.
So I'm wondering what it was like for you going up there and really experiencing real rural living.
Yeah, it was definitely like a culture shock, but I've like lived pretty much in all pockets of the U.S. except for rural Minnesota, except for like rural areas I've never lived in. It was interesting because first, it's something I've never experienced. And then second, like it was hard for me to determine like what like if it will, like how people were interacting with me, if it was because like, are they interacting with me because I'm a Black woman? Is it because it's COVID? Or is it because I am really dirty walking around with a backpack? So it was like three factors and I wasn't really sure. So I was like, I don't know what intersection of my identity is at play right now. So that was kind of weird. But I think, I don't know, it worked out. Like, I kind of do well with talking with people. So tell a few jokes. And I'm named after a country singer. So if I tell people my name, hi, I'm Crystal Gayle, then they're like, oh, don't it make your brown eyes blue? And I'm like, yep, still waiting for them to turn blue, but yeah. So I feel like that's my out for everything. I'm Crystal Gayle.
But you don't sound like somebody in any trouble breaking the ice with people.
Oh, no.
And socializing.
No, I think that when your name is Crystal Gayle and you are, I don't know, like from the South and you, I don't know, I've just always... I've always communicated with people, and I believe that through like effective communication and like just we can like find commonality. At least I try to, especially when it comes to being outdoors, right? So if I can just explain to people, be like, this is what I'm doing outdoors, and this is why I'm doing it. I just get so passionate about it, so then I don't really care what they. Like, I'm like, hey, I'm out here and this is what I'm doing. And it just so happens that every time I was going into a town, it timed itself with me being in the newspaper of that town, if that makes sense.
An announcement, Crystal Gayle's going to be in town, tickets go on sale tomorrow?
No, like the town, like in this, like the news, Minnesota runs off of media, like newspaper, like they're old school like that. There is no like news television. It's like print media. So newspaper reporters would meet me on trail and they would meet me before I got to their town. So usually by the time I got to their town, I would be going into town and I would like see myself in the newspaper and be like, what? This is dope. So that was kind of cool too. And I made the front page of a newspaper and found out when I got to town, I didn't know I was going to be into it. I didn't know I was going to be on the front page until I got into town and was like, oh, that's me.
And this was all good news, I'm assuming, right? It wasn't stranded hiker found, you know,
no.
Lost hiker found somewhere.
No. It was all, I was hiking for in honor of George Floyd. As I said throughout, I hike to get more people of color in the outdoors because I think that, again, nature is a unifier. And so that's like my platform. It's why I hike. And so here in Minnesota, it's like kind of a rare thing to see a solo backpacker and then a female solo backpacker and then a woman who's doing a solo backpacking trip on the Superior Hiking Trail. And it's a through hike. So it was kind of exciting and newsworthy. So that was kind of cool.
I agree, because I think what you did, it's inspiring.
Yeah.
And we all, you know, no matter what our background is, we need the people like you who are willing to be that person to go out and do this, to inspire others.
Yeah.
You know, I was inspired by your story reading
it.
Thank you. And I thought, wow, how cool is that? That's, you know, you went, you know, we all go out and hike, but you were out there with a purpose. You know, it was more than just a hike, and it was a purpose, and you know, trying to inspire other women of color to go out and enjoy it, and to not forget about George Floyd.
Yeah, for sure.
And while you were in Minnesota, I saw that you had visited the George Floyd Memorial.
Yeah, when I got to the, so most people who hike the Superior Hiking Trail, they go south to north, which seems odd to me. So I went. Wait, most people go north to south. I went south to north, and I got to the northern terminus and I like did the summit and it was like a beautiful day. It rained like all day, and then by the time I reached the summit, like the sun came out and I was like, really right now? Because you couldn't come out all day. Like I was having a conversation with the sun and I was like, now you decide to come out. So the sun came out and it was like beautiful, and I was just sitting there, you know, like I was like, yeah, I accomplished this, this is great. And I was like, this doesn't feel complete to me. And I was like, I couldn't figure out why it didn't feel complete. But I started the hike in honor of George Floyd. And so at the end of the actual through hike, I was like, this I need to continue to finish this. So I went to the memorial and I went there and brought my pack and I brought my trekking poles. It was like, I don't really know what I want to do with this, but I feel like this too is part of the journey. So I brought those two things with me when I went to the site. And I got to the site and I was like, okay, at the memorial site, people were leaving items behind, sneakers and various things. And I was like, you know what? I need to leave my trekking poles here because there were so many times that my trekking poles, they helped. I would trip over something and catch myself on the trekking poles, or the trekking poles let me know. And this is to the water, I shouldn't step here because this is actually water and not grass. So they were really a guiding force for me. So I was I'm going to leave my trekking poles here. And then doing that, it was just kind of symbolic. And I also had a breakdown moment because I was wait, I just did all of these miles. And this is something that it's never going to George Floyd is never going to be able to ever see the Superior Hiking Trail, never experience it. I don't know if he ever did, but he's not going to be able to do that. And it just hit me. And I was I don't want more people to die senselessly. I want people to go out in nature, and we could end some of that. If we can just all go outside, it would eliminate so much hurt. I don't know. And so that's where I actually ended my hike, or that's where I considered myself done at that point.
I can imagine it must have been an emotional moment. You had just accomplished something pretty significant. You hiked 310 miles, and then here you are at the memorial for George Floyd. This is all going through your head, is that I just experienced something that, because he was taken from us sooner than he should have, senselessly, he'll never get a chance to experience what I just did. And I can imagine that must have been a very emotional moment. I always look at backpacking this way. I always see it as, and people have heard me say it on the podcast, it's the great equalizer. When we're out there backpacking, I say this jokingly, but we're all a bunch of dirty, smelly hikers.
Right.
Nobody's better than anyone else.
Right.
Yeah, the cashier, the lawyer, the doctor, everybody's the same. The student, the recent high school graduate, we're all the same out there.
Mm-hmm.
And it gives us all an opportunity just to bond and talk about what we have in common, not what makes us different, not our differences.
Right.
Because it's a divisiveness, and I don't want to get political on this podcast, but as a white male, what happened to George Floyd, it's a big tragedy, because I think it just kind of highlights the divisiveness that's been going on in our society.
Right.
I don't want to dwell on this, but I just think when we get outdoors, we can think harder about those things. We can have those moments like you had when you were able to go to the memorial and really think hard and relate to it and put it into a perspective where, where it would fit in your life, how you could relate to it.
Yeah, for sure. Yeah, 'cause I spent that entire, for the time that I was there, riots were still happening in the city. So riots were happening 4 hours away from where I was hiking, but I was isolated from it. I didn't know that it was happening. And I was
wow.
I was I didn't know what was happening. I didn't have cell service. So I was just this is what we need, peace. How simple is that? So it was that also kind of hit me too, where I was we can all just remove ourselves. If we could just go outside and just be free from all of this. And I know that's simple. That's a simple idea, but I want it to be real life. We could all just chill and go be in nature. That's what I want.
Were you on the trail when George Floyd was murdered?
No, I was. I was living in Minnesota, in northern Minnesota at the time. My partner lives here, and I now live here too. But I was here with my partner, and I kept seeing how the media was portraying things online, and I was like, wait, this is not actually how things are unfolding. This is not real. This is not the protest that's actually taking place. So what was being shown was really violent footage. And I'm like, this is not what's actually taking place. And so I wanted to show people that there was a different way to protest that was peaceful and that could bring about change. And so I did the hike. That was part of the reason why I did the hike. And I did it on the Superior Hiking Trail, because it's in Minnesota and the blaze on the trail is blue. And so I had said that the boys in blue are like police officers. They had let us down and they continue to let us down, but nature doesn't let us down. And so it was kind of like symbolic, which is why I picked the trail to do it. And that's why the newspapers came out, because of that reason. Before I did the hike, like I was thinking, I was like, wait, I'm a Black person in northern Minnesota and I'm going to be in the backcountry. And so I felt compelled to like write up stories, like write up articles to all of the police stations and all of the newspapers for where I would be hiking through, just to let them know that I would be on the trail and not to shoot me. So I sent them a picture of what I look like with my gear and without my gear, like in case I was doing laundry or whatever, because it's rural and like technically I don't look like anyone that looks there. And I wanted to make sure that folks knew that like I was there and no one should shoot me. And so I think that me sending that also like kind of like woke people up too, where they were like, well, wait, why would she send out this letter to us? Like the fact that she needed to send us this letter in order for her to feel safe on the trail. I think that too, during that time period, was kind of like impactful as well. I don't know. I also don't know what got me on that tangent just now.
We'll be back after a quick break.
You ever think about what might be in the water you're drinking every time you fill up your water bottles while you're in the outdoors? I try not to, and I really don't, because I use Sawyer water filters. Sawyer filter technology, because of their high standards, every filter is individually tested 3 times through the process. I've been using their permethrin product for years now to protect me from, well, quite frankly, ticks, and the picaridin to keep the flies at bay. Don't let bad water, insects, or a tick bite cut your trip short or even ruin it. Use Sawyer products. Go to your local outdoor retailer and ask for Sawyer products, whether it's a water filter, insect repellent, they're likely to have it. You can also go to Sawyer's website and read more about these incredible, high-quality products that they offer those of us who enjoy the outdoors.
So sorry.
No, I'm glad you shared it. And I just, because I think people should know. And again, this isn't a political podcast. This is about hiking. But what you did, it's about hiking. Okay. A Black woman goes to Minnesota. You're not joking. Being shot at is something that went through your head.
Yeah.
Something you thought about, which I got, you know, as a 56-year-old white male, I never have to think about that. If my boys go out and hike, I don't have to worry about that.
Yeah.
But if I was the father of 3 Black men, mm-hmm. that's something I'd have to be concerned about.
Yeah.
I can't relate to it, but I'm sitting here thinking, you know what? I'd probably have to worry about that.
Yeah. Yeah. But like I said, the Superior Hiking Trail Association, they're a great association. And like they supported me throughout my hike. And the people, like the community people that take care of the trail, they were a huge support, which was great. Like folks would just show up and just be like, hey. And I'm like, hi, random people. So like that was kind of cool, but it was also COVID. So they would like show up on their bikes and be like riding by from far away and be like, hi.
Mm-hmm. From a distance.
Yeah. I'm like, hi. So I mean, like,
here's a bottle of water. Catch it.
I wish someone would have done that. That would have been funny. But no, so I did have the support of the Trail Association. And in terms of trail associations, I've hiked lots of trails across the country. Superior Hiking Trail is one of my favorite trail associations. Like, they're dope people. I like them a lot. And prior to hiking the trail, like, I wasn't a member of the association. I am selective about the trail, like, where I give money to. So I wasn't a member of the association before I hiked the trail, but I joined afterwards because I saw how, like, what they actually did with the money. So, like, the trails are well maintained. Like, there's, like, educational components. And I'm like, this is great. This is good. And so I want this trail to flourish because I want more people to experience it. And so, I mean, I guess that speaks to like my experience on the trail, which was I joined the Trail Association after I was done. Yeah. So, I mean, I really liked the trail a lot. It was great.
And that brings me to another point. You're out there, let's face it, it was an historically bad point, low point in our history, right? Historically bad things were going on, but you were able to see some of the good. You're able to see, you know what? There still are a lot of good people out there, yeah. And there's more of the good people than the bad people.
Yeah. That I was able to see that, and I was able to see that because of nature, because of my connection with nature. And so because of that, I'm like, it's nature that brings out the good in people. And so I'm like, I wouldn't have been able to see that from like my house where I was sitting, because all I had was the news. But because I was outdoors in nature, I could see like the good in things, and I could see the good in people. And so that's what nature does. Nature inspires us to look outside of just like, you know, television or like social media or whatever. So I got to see the good in people because that was what I had. That's what I was exposed to. And so I'm like, that's what I want people to have, you know?
You don't have all that interference, all that static going back and forth, whether it's social media, the radio, or the TV. Does anybody even listen to the radio anymore? But anyway, all this information being thrown at us.
Yeah.
But when you're out there by yourself, and you're out there sometimes for hours by yourself, mm-hmm. you have a lot of time to think and really get deep into your thoughts and look at things and oftentimes walk away with clarity.
Yeah, definitely. Yeah, I always say this, that I think, I know this might sound weird, but before any political candidates should be able to run, I think that they should do a through hike together. Because
I've said that. You know what? First of all, I'm going to get my wife in here. I've said this, they should be forced to go out for 2 weeks into the woods. And if they can get along out, if they all come out, they're going to come out, first of all, smiling and shaking hands. We both know that, right? They're going to get along after that much time. And then maybe they
start to
agree on what we need to do.
So we need to, you and I need to get together, and we need to start getting the rest of the world, or the rest of the country together, to get everybody to advocate for our leaders to do hikes together. That's the only way they can run. They have to like commit to, you say 2 weeks. All right. 2 weeks, like on a through, like got to do a through hike together. And it's got to be like a hard trail. Can't be an easy trail. You got to like cross a river at least, or do some type of crossing.
Yeah. Like, right. Something that's going to challenge them physically, mentally, emotionally, right? Break them down, and so that they can become deeper thinkers and put this bickering aside and say, you know what? We need to focus on fixing things, you know, not fighting with each other, you know, and try to move things forward. And we're right. You know, this is a new, everybody, you know what? We've got a congressional election coming up in 2022. Call your congressperson and tell them, invite them out for a hike. Doesn't even have to be 2 weeks. Invite them out for a weekend hike, them and their opponent. Do it. And I want to hear about it. First of all, that's a great idea.
Yeah.
We're geniuses. I think we're onto something.
We should do it. Sorry to bring that up. I know you said no politics, but that's...
No, I didn't say no politics. I just, look, if you get me going on politics, it might not...
But we did share our great idea on how to help people politically come to some sort of understanding.
Right. I'm not saying everybody needs to agree on everything, but as I've said a few times, we've become so divisive, I don't think we're able to actually focus on what the real issues are anymore. You know, we can't figure out, you know, can there be a middle ground on something? You know, can we figure out how to fix this without breaking this and that again?
One of those things. Yeah. Yeah.
Cook your food when you have no stove, and you know, have to cold soak your food.
Let's make this
cold soak your food for a few days and see how that feels. All right.
Yeah, we are. That's what I'm talking about.
We are onto something.
Animal encounter.
While we're talking about challenging these people, animal encounters.
So a moose, and no one prepared me that there would be one. Basically, I know it's going to sound weird. So I froze, and because I had never seen one. And then two, I froze. And then in my brain, all I could think of was, oh, I'm frozen. And so then I just started to sing Let It Go from Frozen. And I don't know if this moose was just like, yeah, what's your issue? Or like, you're weird. But it was kind of like, I don't have time for you. And I was like, okay, cool. So like I froze and then I was like, let it go, let it go. And then like, that was it. And then just, there's not really much wildlife except for like deer. So just, that's the extent. Yeah. There was nothing like life threatening. People say like bears or whatever, but yeah, I didn't, that was my most.
Right.
Yeah.
You have that encounter where you were getting water and looked up and there was a bear staring you in the face. The moose encounter, I have a young man who I've interviewed who's up in northern Maine, and he told me that the first time he saw a moose, he said it looked like a cow on stilts.
Interesting.
The thing was so big. But yeah, and he had a similar reaction. It was like, you know, at first it's kind of startling. You know, you see this big thing and then you just kind of calmed down and enjoyed the opportunity. Yeah. You know, once he realized there was no danger and he was from a far enough distance, he was able to actually enjoy the moment, that opportunity to see a moose in its natural habitat.
Animals are cool like that. I feel like we respect them. They respect us. I saw lots and lots of birds. I love blue jays now. They followed me around for days. Every time that I like felt any sort of like I was like, I'm overwhelmed, it rains too much, or oh, I just want to go home, there would be a blue jay that would come by and I'd be like, okay, I get it, I'll stay with you for a while. I saw lots of blue jays. They were beautiful and abundant.
Do you have any scary moments while you're on a trail? Like, you know, am I safe out here? Am I in danger?
I don't have any, like, I don't tend to ever have any, like, I'm going to be I'm not afraid of animals. I'm not afraid of, like, nature herself. I'm more afraid of the people in nature and what the people in nature can do to me. Like, so I'm not afraid of, like, falling off of a cliff, or I'm just more afraid of, like, man-made things in nature, if that makes sense.
It does, because you're not the first person I've heard say that. The biggest dangers out there are man-made dangers, so to speak.
Everything else, I'm like, this is great.
What was your overall impression of the trail? Now, we've heard a lot about it. So if you were going to sum up, you know, or I'll put it to you this way. Tell me why I should go out and hike the...
You should go out and hike it because it's, and once you, traveling aside, getting here, it's an affordable trail because you won't have to spend a lot of money on like gear, because you won't be out there for long. Most people finish it in 3 weeks. I think the fastest time might be 9 days. You get to meet a lot of people. You get to hang out in some cool towns. If you drink, I'm not a drinker, but there are breweries along the way that lots of people like. The people that you'll encounter will be nice. It goes through private and public land. So you get to meet like farmers, which are kind of cool to meet. The people are really nice. I mean, I enjoyed it. And it's just really cool not to have to like fight for shelter, like on the AT when you get to the huts and you're like, really right now? Like, and people are like hanging up their clothes and you're like, is this how you're gonna like, it's raining outside, maybe make room for other people, but like people are nice. So that was something I really like. Yeah, and it's remote because not a lot of people are hiking it.
Yeah, I've hiked sections of the Appalachian Trail when I get caught in the bubble and you show up at a shelter and you're right, it's just a mob. It's a mob scene at the shelter, right? The shelter's full. Every square inch of space you might be able to put a tent is taken up.
Yeah.
It's pretty high up on my list of trails I want to hike. Let me ask you this, because like I said, this is on my bucket list, so this is maybe more self-serving than even for our listeners here. Logistics, right? Getting there, like I'm coming from New York. I guess I would fly into Duluth and Northern Dry. Yeah. Sorry about that. Yeah. Shuttle drivers, people that drive you back down. Mm-hmm. I'm guessing there's no public transportation
I don't really know because Minnesota. I met the best, and I'm going to give a shout out because this woman is amazing. The best Trail Angel shuttle driver ever. Her name is Harriet. Like, if you go on any blog about the SHT, like, Harriet is your woman. She will take you places. And it's like an amusing drive. It's not like, you know, like she has stories for days. And she is the funniest woman ever. And she just made me smile and laugh the entire time. I was like, yo, I don't even want to get out of this van right now because that's how great it is. So yes, there is Harriet and she knows everyone and everything about the area. Harriet is the shuttle person to go with. So just ask anybody for Harriet's number in that area. Just say, hey, I'm looking for Harriet. They'll give it to you. Her number's on the sign. She even has like posters that's like, if you are a wet hiker and you need a ride, if you take a selfie with your photo, like of you wet, I'll come pick you up right now. And I'm like, what? Like, Harriet is your go-to person. Can't think of her last name right now, but Harriet, Trail Angel Harriet is who you want to hit up.
Well, I'm making a note of that, Harriet, just, you know, because I still don't know what I'm doing in 2022. So the Superior Hiking Trail is on the radar. I just haven't zeroed in on exactly what hike I'm going to
do. I would do it. Oh, and also, as I said, most people go northbound to southbound. Okay. I personally recommend not doing that. The reason, so when you go, when the reason why I went northbound is because the section, there's a section, there's two types of hike on the Superior Hiking Trail. One's called a total through hike and one's called a through hike because there's a section called Martin Road. So from Martin Road to Duluth, a lot of people skip because like it's hard to navigate through Duluth. Which is what I told you, like it's hard to navigate through that area. So most people stop at Martin Road. Now, me personally, I like to like feel rewarded. So I started in Duluth because I knew that there would be like cool things to see. And then I would hit Martin Road. And then there's a stretch from Martin Road where you're just like fighting bugs. And I'm like, this is not enjoyable for me. Most people end there. So I'm like, why would you end fighting bugs when you can end in like the dope part of like berries and like Canada? So I would say start in Wisconsin if I were you. You could start with cheese and then end in Canada.
Good approach to me. And I got to tell you, I do drink beer and you kind of had me at the good beer. So
tons of little micro breweries. Yeah.
Well, my friends and I are avid beer drinkers with a hiking partner. So that's certainly, you had me sold there.
Yep, Minnesota, do it.
And we spoke earlier before we started the interview. You this year had another little excursion you started. I wouldn't call it little, but another hiking excursion.
I am hiking the Great Western Loop. Great Western Loop is the Pacific Crest Trail, the Arizona Trail, the Grand Enchantment Trail, the Continental Divide in the Pacific Northwest. And I'm hiking that trail to, again, speak about the lack of people of color in the outdoors, women in the outdoors that do solo backpacking trips. And now I know I literally said that people should avoid through hikes. And this is one large through hike, but I'm doing it in sections because, again, I think nature needs time to like recover. So I'm doing it in sections. So this year I did 1,000 miles. I started in Northern California, cut over. I went southbound on the PCT and got off. It's weird how unless you can see it on a map, and then got off in the middle of the Arizona Trail, and I'll be picking that back up in March back on the Arizona Trail and continuing the loop. But yeah, so I'm doing that to raise awareness, let people know like, hey, like people that look like me do hike, and then message to people that look like me, hi, please come join me. So I've put out open invitations for folks to come and join me, be on the trail at any point. I've said it, I've gone on record as saying that I'm not like trying to conquer nature. So I've made it an invitation. Like, I don't want to be like the first of any, like, I don't want to be the first Black woman or the first blah, 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 because I want everybody to come and do it with me. So I want people to do it together. So that's my invitation to everyone. And that's what I'm doing. And yeah. That's where I'll be.
Well, I think that's great, right? Because first of all, we're never going to conquer nature. It's going to kick our butt every time. We're going to lose that battle every time. But yeah, and in a spirit, though, if I were out there, it's a unifier. Mm-hmm. Bring us together.
Yeah, I've hiked with some cool people along the way. Like people who are like, okay, I'm going to come. And I'm like, all right, cool. And so far, none of them have been people of color. So, but I have had some cool days hiking with folks, which have been great. Learned a lot about the folks I've hiked with, learned a lot. I hiked one day with a geologist and I was like, all right, so you're going to go to sleep. What time are you going to wake up in the morning? Because I was like, I learned a lot. I woke up early. Like, he was great. He just, it was just an education. It was like school all day. I was like, must we continue? No, but he was cool. I liked him. He was great. I learned a lot that day. Okay. But it was just like, wow. It's like school in the outdoors.
Right. I'll do my own learning, right? If I want to learn about that plant, I'll look it up on my phone. Right.
Yeah. But yeah, that's what I'm doing now. And that's where folks can find me in 2022. That's where I'll be.
That's great. Crystal, where can we find you? We want to follow you.
You can find my writing either on onlyfootprints.world. You can follow me on Instagram. Footprints for Change, not the number four, the word four. Facebook, Crystal Gale Welcome. My last name is Welcome. My first name is Crystal Gale. And that's G-A-I-L. I'm also on Twitter at Awesome Welcome. Yeah, and those are places where you can readily find me. You can also Google me. I'm Googleable. That's a word I have trademarked. Google, I hope you hear me because I trademarked it. Yeah, so those are places where you can find me.
Thanks. We'll put all this in the description for the podcast. Crystal, first, thanks for being so generous with your time and sharing this, what I think is a very inspiring and important story.
Thanks,
you're sharing.
Martin, I appreciate you having me on here. It was very nice hanging out with you.
Yeah, and I just, people do inspire others because that's what we try to do in this podcast. That's my mission here, to inspire people to go out and find their thing in the outdoors. Find something that they enjoy doing. Fight somebody out there. And hey, and as Crystal and I talked about, get your politicians out there. Before I sign off here. Okay, right, Crystal, you and I are making a pack here. Tell them to get them out there.
We're
going to fix, Crystal, we're gonna fix this mess. All right. Thanks All right. again, Crystal. Hey, everybody. Make sure you go to PapaBearHikes.com. If you're listening to us on iTunes, give us a thumbs up, leave a review, you know, all those good things you do on iTunes. Get out there, have some fun, be friendly with each other. Peace. This episode of Papa Bear Hikes has been brought to you by Avalon Publicity. Avalon Publicity, increasing the digital footprint of content creators and skilled professionals via website development and social media services. For more information about Avalon Publicity, go to their website, avalonbusiness.org. That's avalonbusiness.org.